This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to a Wednesday in New York City. Evan and Tiki, we've got a lot to get to. A lot going on with the Yankees, who did not clinch last night. But Gleyber Torres is causing Yankee fans to panic. A major injury in the rotation. A lot of Yankee talk. It is Cowboy Week for Giant fans. We'll find out why superfan Sean Morash is scared to watch the Giants play the Cowboys tomorrow night. But for as rational as Tiki Barber wants to be, for as calming as Tiki wants to be, what happened last night is what I've warned you. What happened last night in Atlanta was the same crap dressed up in a different year. The Mets have been hot. The Mets have been great. The roster's different. The attitude's different. And yet, just like 1998, and just like 1999, and just like 2022, they went down to Georgia and they got smoked. So you can tell me it's different. History has nothing to do with it. But last night, even you sat there as Michael Harris was Superman on the field. You even watched this as Spencer Schwellenbach ran the Mets down for seven beautiful innings. You even know there's just something in the air about when the Mets go to Atlanta, and it should scare the crap out of all of us.
You still got a one-game lead. That's all I'm saying. You still got a one-game lead. You had a bad day. It is what it is. Francisco Lindor was not available until almost he was available at the end. You still got a one-game lead. Chill out.
Chill out.
It's in front of you.
It's in front of you.
I hate to be Boonism right now, but it's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You control what you can control. Yeah, it sucks that Chris Sale's on the mound tonight, but it is what it is.
Assuming they play tonight.
They're not playing tonight, by the way. There's no way they're playing. If they are, they're not finishing tonight.
We'll get into the scenarios involving Mets Braves, but I try to be rational. I really do. I try to understand that Jay Payton making a base running decision in 1998 has nothing to do with 2024. I try to be rational that most of the Met lineup last night was not in the lineup back in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
The rotation is different. The manager is different. Everything is different. But you cannot blame me. You cannot blame any other Met fan for sitting down last night and looking at the TV and saying, I'm living in a time warp. I'm watching the same crap I saw 2 years ago and I saw 24 years ago. So you're right that it's all in front of them. You're even right if you want to bring up the Diamondbacks collapsing, which they are. Like, the Mets can still make the postseason.
Right.
I get that.
They can almost back their way in.
They could.
As uncomfortable as that will feel as a Met fan.
But right now, you can't question why we fear the Atlanta Braves. Hopefully last night was a lesson for you, Tiki.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, Sean, who told me it's Ghostbusters week. And for you, Positive Tommy, that, hey, they're the Braves. And for whatever reason, it may not make sense. When the devil goes down to Georgia, we get smoked.
He's looking for a soul to steal.
Well, we've...
And he stole yours.
Yeah, it's been stolen for 25 years, Steve.
I hear you, man.
You hear me?
I listened to the Mets chat all last night. I actually had to mute it because I was tired of hearing the negativity. Don't you see now, Tiki? Don't you see where the negative... Off. I turned it off. Because at the end of the day, it's still there for the taking. Now, the circumstances are not ideal. If I had to bet on it, I'd say you're going to be even after today if the game is played. Simply because it's Chris Sale. He's been amazing. But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that the season is doomed or that the playoff chances are gone. This team has played too well for too long to lay down now. And I think that, see, that's my takeaway from this entire season. I had sloughed it off. This is just an evaluation year. So whatever happens, happens. And then you can't help but start believing because of how well this team had played. And even no matter what adversity came their way, they found a way to bounce back. And so don't you have to believe that that's what's going to happen now? This is a little tad of adversity because it's the Braves. Now, it hurts more because the history, but it's a tad bit of it. Don't you expect them to bounce back? Don't you expect Mindy to have this team playing at a different level tonight than they did a night ago?
I'll tell you why I'm not as confident as I should be. And it really starts with something that Steve Gelb said on the broadcast last night and something even Howie Rose said last night. And it's this idea, this fiction that continues to be repeated, that this team's different than 2022. I hear that a lot.
Well, it is.
This team is in roster construction,
yes,
it's very different.
And that's what we're talking about.
No, that's not what we're talking about. What I've heard was, well, that team, you know, they weren't so mentally tough. You know, that team, they weren't having fun.
Oh, my God.
Like, that team always had all these things that were wrong with them that we're talking about now after the fact.
Yeah.
Let me make this clear because I think this is the reality. When the Mets went to Atlanta, despite their struggles in September, did you guys really think the Mets, who were about to win 100 games, weren't mentally tough with veterans like Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom? Did anyone really think that? Or Teague, was that invented to explain what happened when they collapsed?
No, I think
it is a convenient explanation after the fact. And Gary Cohen, God bless Gary Cohen, because when Steve Gelb started repeating this, Gary said, you know, because Steve's like, well, they were tight last year. Brandon Nimmo admitted we're tight last year.
Two years ago.
Yeah. We're tight. And Gary very calmly, and I'm so glad he said this calmly, because I was screaming this at the TV. And Gary said, well, they're down 5-0 right now. They're doing nothing against Spencer Schwellenbach. Maybe they're going to start to get tight like they did 2 years ago. Hmm. And it was almost like, oh, gee, could that happen?
Yeah.
So the idea that, well, 2022 is different. Stop bringing it up. Why? Nobody thought they were going to collapse like dogs in Atlanta.
Whoa.
Nobody thought that. Nobody thought they were going to come home a week later and, again, collapse like dogs to the San Diego Padres. You say it now because it's convenient. It's so convenient to say, well, you know what? Bunch of veterans, they didn't care. They were mentally weak. They were pressing. If this team loses, you're going to say the same crap about this team.
If this team loses, you can say maybe they're not mentally, the fortitude is not there. But I think the 2022 team was more attrition than anything else. I don't think it was mental lack of toughness. I think they just wore out. Scherzer certainly was worn out. DeGrom had lost his ability to do anything other than throw a fastball. Now, again, his line wasn't horrible, but I mean, it was demoralizing giving up home run after home run after home run, three of them to be
exact. Why wouldn't that be the case last night?
So last
why wouldn't
night,
they
because
fit the same thing you just described? Why?
It doesn't feel that same. It doesn't feel like you have a 42-year-old or however old Scherzer was at that time.
Time out. You have a starting pitcher who's thrown more innings than he's thrown in 6 years. You have a lineup that features a bunch of core guys that play every single day.
And he gave up four runs.
And they got four hit. So, again, you're doing the convenient thing. It's so convenient to describe what happened 2 years ago when I'm telling you the same thing could happen again.
Yeah.
How do we know it's different?
I think two years ago was more a team that was worn out. They were grinding to win the division. They were grinding to try to be...
This team isn't grinding?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You are, but it's not, there's the age isn't on this team like that, like it was on that team, right? The injury history isn't on this team like it was on
Disagree.
That team.
Disagree. You have a rotation that's thrown a ton more innings than they've thrown in a long time.
Yeah, but they're not 40 years old.
Okay.
I know what you're saying, but I can't believe in that because for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about how good this starting rotation is. Hell, when we were at SNY, that's all we were talking about, wasn't it?
And what did we
do? How elite the starting rotation had been and how they had become at the end of the season in the most critical time of the year. So why did that change?
Why did that change with the Mets in 2022? See, again, this is
because
the convenience.
Because they were old.
But Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom barely pitched that year. They weren't wearing down.
Okay.
And by the way, they didn't hit. Their stars didn't hit in the three most important games against Atlanta. And through one game so far, guess what happened? The same crap. Other than Mark Vientos, nobody hit.
All right, so can we give credit to Swellen?
No, I'm not doing that. We could have done that 2 years ago, too. Let's just give credit to any opponent that beats the Mets. Look, I'm not trying to tell you they're going to collapse, even though it may sound that way. I just get so angry when I hear people try to explain why this is different than 2022. But you know how it can be different, Tiki? Win.
Yeah, but
go make it different by winning. They didn't win last night. They no-showed. They got their ass kicked. But there was nothing different about last night.
It sounds to me like you're just discounting someone else, that is the opponent, playing damn good. Like, because that happens.
Did the Mets play well last night?
No, I'm not talking
about
the Mets.
Did they play good defense last night?
I'm talking about the Braves. They had a starting pitcher, even though he's young as hell, in Swellenbach, who just pitched well.
Yeah.
Period.
He did fine.
Period.
Okay.
Why can't you give him credit as opposed to saying, oh, the bats are dead, and Luis Severino's pitched more innings than he's ever pitched, and that's why he gave up
No. I'm combating the convenient things people say to explain 2 years ago. You started bringing up, well, they were wearing down 2 years ago. How do you know they wouldn't be wearing down now? See, history's written by the results. If they lose three games to Atlanta, there'll be new stories people will tell to explain what happened. Okay, so just like stories were created after 2022 to explain what happened.
Can we let them lose three games to Atlanta before we have this conversation?
Tiki, I don't want to hear, and it pissed me off to no end, about why this team's different than 2022 while all they did last night was do the same crap. Tell me. Don't spit on me and tell me it's rain.
I'm not spitting on you.
I'm not seeing you.
It is going to rain outside, though. Sometime.
Was that a good analogy?
Yeah, it was.
Don't spit on me and tell me it's rain. Is that a real analogy? Did I hear that somewhere?
Yeah, and besides spit, they use something else.
Yes, I think it's a different.
They use number one for the bathroom.
Oh, well, I cleaned it up. I tried to be clean about it. I just don't know. To my fellow Met fans who want to be positive, and I want to be positive. Like, I don't think overall I'm negative about the team. Mm-hmm. I think I'm negative about this situation because this situation always ends the same way. And I'm laughing about it because it's the definition of insanity. You know what it would be similar to?
What's that?
And tell me if I'm going too far with this, Yankee fans. It would be like Minnesota sports fans talking themselves into why it's going to be different when the Twins play the Yankees in the playoffs time.
Yeah, but the problem for New York Met fans is that you're not trying to talk yourself into why it's going to be different. You're talking yourself into why it's going to be the same. that's what I don't understand. Why is this negative bent?
Because did you watch last night? It was the same thing.
Yeah, but did you think they were sweeping them?
No, but... I really believe this. I said this last night after the game on the Rico. I'll say it again, and you may call me a liar. If they had lost a game 8-7, if they had lost a game differently, I think I would have said, hard-fought loss, let's bounce back. They lost a game last night
The way they lost every game in 1999 when they were swept by Atlanta, when they went into Atlanta a game back in the NL East. They lost last night very similarly to the way they lost three games to Atlanta back in 2022. It's the same script.
No, they lost last night the same way they lost a terrible game to the Oakland A's at home, and the same way that they lost a terrible game on Saturday to the Philadelphia Phillies. They lost this way a million times this year, and you know what these Mets did in 2024? They bounced the freak back because this is the most resilient Met team that we've seen for the last 15 years. So stop walking around here like a loser.
Yeah, and stop putting your supposed stars on these pedestals because that's where the issue is.
What does that mean?
Nemo, Alonso.
Why? Brandon Nemo was 0 for 4 yesterday. Pete Alonso was 0 for 3.
I know.
So, like, what would it be?
My point is you keep saying, oh, Nemo's got to do this, and Alonso's got to do this, and Tyrone Taylor deserves to be in the lineup. He's got to do X, Y, Z. Alvarez is different because he's still young and he had some ups and downs this year. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you have these, like, massive expectations for these guys who you think you can count on, but you can't.
So what you're saying is, don't count on them. Blow it up at the end of the year. They're not that good. Is that your point to me?
I'm saying.
By the way, if they get swept by the Braves and miss the playoffs, a lot of people will have that opinion.
You have to earn the right to believe that they're going to do those things.
Brandon Nimmo has driven in 87 runs this year. Mm-hmm. Pete Alonso in a down year has 34 home runs and 88 RBIs.
But the most important game of the season, according to you, was game one of this last Braves series, and what did they do?
Yeah, they came up small. Okay, so you agree with me. They've come up small in big spots, and the Braves, like last year, or 2 years ago, they always think of last year, but it's two years ago, and like last night, their stars came through.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. Michael Harris came through. Matt Olson, I know he didn't have the big home run, but that base hit that he got, or I'm sorry, that walk that he got in the third inning, and that was a great at-bat, basically helped set the inning up and make it even bigger.
Right.
Like, their stars came through. The Mets stars came up small. And that has been the same story forever. And I want to be wrong. I want to come in here or hug my wife and tell my kids, hey, we beat the Braves. It's different. But it's never been different. It's never been different. So to my fellow Met fan, if you're believing and you came into this series believing everything's different, did last night change you at all?
One game.
Did it change you at all, positive Tommy?
One game.
You know what, Evan? This is positive, Tommy. I'm going to quote two great philosophers, Timon and Pumbaa. You got to put the past behind you.
I can't when they keep repeating
Evan,
it, bro.
What did we open the show with yesterday?
I don't remember.
It was Luis Severino in the big spots, not always being what he is, what we expect him to be. And last night...
Don't tell me he was great. I know he had a lot of bad luck. I know he had a lot of bad luck. I'm not going to destroy him, but let's not act like Luis Severino's four-inning, four-run performance
was money.
Not suggesting
that at all. There was bad luck in that inning. My point is, and I think everybody said it perfectly here, is it's one game. And this team has bounced back.
It's not one game.
Yes, it is.
That's the difference between you and I.
How is it anything more than one game?
I'll tell you why. Because of every time they've played Atlanta, every time they've played him in a big spot. And, you know, Brian, do you guys remember Brian Schneider? He was a catcher for the New York Mets.
Yes, we do.
And I want to tell you a quick story because I think this will make sense. Brian Schneider became the catcher for the Mets in 2008, the year after they collapsed in 07. He replaced Paul LaDuca. And he became the weekly spot with me and Joe. And Gio will tell you this story. Me and Gio went to a Met game early, and we were talking to Brian Schneider. And we were bringing up the collapse. Right. And Brian said to both Gio and I don't get why you guys always bring up the collapse. I wasn't on the team. I wasn't here. Like, I'm new. This is different. And we did the same thing. Like, you know, you're on the team now. And then they collapsed. And I remember saying to Brian Schneider, what do you think now? And he's like, well, I own it now. You own your history. And sometimes it gets repeated. And until we see something different in the month of September against these Atlanta Braves,
but why,
it's tough to believe it's going to be different.
Why do you pre-talk about it? That's what's
I'm not pre-talking about it. They lost last night 5-1.
It's
the same way they've always lost.
You said it was going to happen. You believe that it's
going
to happen.
So now you're mad at me for being right about a prediction?
No.
I'm sorry, I told you the truth.
It just becomes this self-fulfilling nonsense.
Tiki had nothing to do with the Mets losing last night, and you know it.
I know you didn't.
So then what did I do wrong?
Why do you expect it to be any different if you expected it to be just like
this? Because I don't expect it to be different when they face the Braves. I said to you 2 days ago, I expect things to go badly.
And so what do you want to do? You want to talk yourself down so that when the opposite happens, you're surprised?
Do you want me
it makes you feel better because you had such low expectations for your team that when they actually surprise you, that you're like, oh, well, I actually feel doubly better.
You want me to pretend? Is that what it was? Because your option is,
no,
why are you saying that?
I'm just saying,
because I believe
whether we're talking about sports, whether we're talking about a business interview, a job interview, whatever, you got to believe that it's going to happen. Like, what's the point of... Like, why torture yourself? Why, if you love sports so much, why torture yourself?
Can I give you an example?
Believing that the converse is going to happen.
I'm going to give you an example. Maybe this will make a lot of sense to you. Hey, Sean. Sean Morash.
How are you?
Are the Giants going to beat the Cowboys tomorrow?
No, they're going to get smoked.
Okay. Because as sports fans, we sometimes have opinions that we hope we're wrong about.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down last night with my scorebook hoping to be wrong.
Have the Giants been the best team in football since July, Evan? It's a little different. Apples and oranges, pal.
No, no, it's not apples and oranges.
It is absolutely apples and oranges.
The Cowboys are your daddies, and you're right. The Giants haven't been on some amazing run, but I don't understand why a Giant fan would go into a game against Dallas or a game against Philly expecting the worst, and then after the worst actually happens in one game, you look at me like I've got 10 heads? No, I was the one person who was right. And I didn't want to be. You know this. You think I give a rat's ass about being right? I don't want to be right. No, I want to be happy and wrong rather than right and miserable.
I have no idea what you want. I honestly
don't. Want my team to win, bro. What do you mean, what do I want?
It doesn't sound like it, though.
That's ridiculous. Why? Because I call what ends up happening?
Yes.
It's a lot easier to call negativity than positivity, which is why Lou Gowers really is a unbelievable.
You're
TV.
A gym.
Well, can I?
You're a gym.
Can I be positive? And Evan, spoiler alert, is going to yell at me. He doesn't want to hear this, but you're going to hear
it. I'm going to shut my mic off. I will not yell at
you,
I promise.
Here's why last night was different. After the Mets lost in Atlanta, what happened a few hours later? The Diamondbacks lost by 11 runs. Because the power of positivity. Even in a loss, something positive happened. The Mets could see that score and go, all right, great. We didn't lose any ground on the Diamondbacks. Let's get them tomorrow. The universe, usually when this happens with the Mets, doesn't work in our favor. It is now because of the positivity.
There it is.
They have to exercise there the demons in Atlanta. More for us as fans because of, you know, negative Dan and negative Evan and all that stuff. I watched the Rico last night. People were emailing him at 7:40, basically saying the season's over.
Michael Harris's first at-bat was the end of the game to a lot of Mets fans. Hey, 9-pitch at-bat, Sevy couldn't put him away, single to center, we're done! By the way, I thought the same thing, and I was right.
What, should have hit him?
No, it was just a sign that things were bad. So to my fellow Mets fan, and the Yankees, we'll get to you too, Giants, Cowboys, we'll get to you too, did last night remind you that we just don't beat the Braves? And we better hope it continues raining. We better hope it continues raining so that the next time the Mets play the Braves, they already have a playoff spot wrapped up, which is possible. We'll get to the weather and what may and may not happen. Plus your calls at 888-808-1019. A lot of Yankee stuff to get to. We'll get to right at 3 o'clock, including the differing explanations for what happened with Gleyber Torres last night, an injury to the Yankee rotation. So a lot to get to as the show rolls on, plus Giants, Cowboys as well. I'm looking at the weather forecast for Atlanta tonight. There is a 90% chance of rain at 6 o'clock, a 90% chance rain at 7 o'clock, a 95% chance rain of 8 o'clock, a 96% chance of rain at 9 o'clock. But then at 10 o'clock, it's down to 81%.
Oh, that's the window.
Yeah, and look,
there's the window. 9 o'clock.
And look how negative you are. There's still a 10% chance it won't rain at 7. A 4% chance. Look at the positive.
Yeah. No, the forecast is interesting, and I think the next 5 minutes will be very interesting, and we're going to keep you posted because the New York Mets are scheduled to bus to Truist Park at 2:30, according to Mike Puma. And if they're busing over there, that means we're in for a long night. That means the Braves and Major League Baseball are going to wait. And I want to make that very clear because I wanted to do some research about this, ask some questions. And I did. I asked a lot of questions. So in terms of the decision behind tonight's game, tomorrow's game, the New York Mets have zero to do with it.
Yeah.
The Mets have no power in this. This is about the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball. So because this isn't the postseason, in the postseason it's all Major League Baseball, but it's a regular season game, the Mets have no idea what's going to happen. They have no power in this. So this is Atlanta Braves organization and Major League Baseball deciding what to do. The other thing is, it is now too late to go neutral site tomorrow night. If they were going to go neutral site, that was going to have to be something that started to be planned on Monday or Tuesday.
Right.
So we are stuck with the Mets and Braves attempting to play a game tonight, which feels unlikely. I guess attempting to play a game tomorrow in the middle of a hurricane in which the governor, Governor Brian Kemp, has already issued a state of emergency. And there's certainly a lot more important things than a baseball game in the state of Georgia. And that's it. Those are the only options. And if they don't play those games, they're going to just try to play Monday.
The only thing you can, I guess, surmise that they're hoping happens is that a hurricane hits land in wherever, somewhere in Florida, and then it just slows down and dissipates. Or veers away from Atlanta. That's the only thing that you can hope that they can think is hoping is going to happen. Because otherwise, what other option do they have? They waited too long.
Major League Baseball waited way too long to do something about it. And I'm sort of surprised because MLB's done stuff in the past. Like yesterday, we may not have been paying attention to it, but the Tigers game got moved up to an afternoon game because it rained in the forecast.
Yes.
And so they did it, and they got the game in, and it all worked out. They've done nothing to this Met-Braves series, which makes the likeliest scenario putting the Mets and the Braves in a spot where they may have to play two games on Monday and then open up the postseason on Tuesday. I'm hopeful that MLB, if that happens, would at least move the start of that wild card series to Wednesday, since they have an off day on Friday.
I think that's the least they have to do.
That's at least,
right?
No doubt.
Because you can't play a doubleheader and then play the next day,
and the next day
travel,
and the next day maybe in San Diego or Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's unfair.
Yeah,
not that they care, but that's unfair.
The whole thing is a colossal mess. There's obviously big decisions that would then have to be made about the rotation for both teams. So we'll see what ends up happening. I'm also curious to see how long they wait today. Like, with the forecast looking the way it looks, they should say you're not playing and send the Mets to Milwaukee now.
Right, Sean, did the buses leave yet?
All right. Well, here's our baseball news, folks. Prior to tonight's game, Nestor Cortes is on the 15-day IL retroactive with a left elbow flexor strain. They've recalled Cody Petit, and tonight, Marcus Stroman will start for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
So I don't know if the bus has left, but that's your updated baseball
news. we heard about the Nestor Cortes thing kind of out of nowhere a few hours ago.
Yeah.
And that sucks because he's been pitching so well and could have been a weapon out of the bullpen. We'll get into what the Yankee rotation will look like now, but Marcus Stroman back in the rotation for tonight's game as they try to clinch the American League East against the Orioles. But last night was same old for the Mets. They played the Braves with a lot on the line. The offense did absolutely nothing. Their defense was sloppy. Severino wasn't great. Yes, he had a lot of bad luck, no doubt about it. And the Mets lost a lifeless game to the Atlanta Braves as if it was 1999 all over again. 888-808-1019. Tim in West Orange. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Evan. How you doing? Love the show. You and Tiki do a great pair.
Thank you.
But, Evan, you're killing me with this negativity talk about the Mets. I know what you're saying about 2022, 1998, 1999, but this Mets team is not the same as those teams back then. They have been so resilient this year, coming off of bad losses, and it's just like Tommy said, you got to be positive about it.
I don't have to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you something that I don't feel. And here's what's so, you don't mean to because you're a nice guy and you're a good Met fan, what's so disrespectful about your comment towards the Mets. The 1999 team was damn resilient. They were damn resilient. The 1999 team had coaches fired in the middle of the day as they were getting beat by the Yankees, and they responded. The 1999 team was dead and buried, and they won their last bunch of regular season games and then won a one-game playoff in Cincinnati. They were damn resilient. And you know what happened? They couldn't beat the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. So you could tell me all day how different things are. The 99 team is a team I hold dearly in my heart. They went to Atlanta a game out, and they got swept. So just because you're resilient, which, yes, the Mets have been, doesn't make it any different that when you go to Atlanta, you lose the same way we've seen for 25 years. And there was no sign whatsoever. I disagree with Tiki. In fact, I think what Steve Gelbs and Tiki Barber, I'm putting you in the same group, what you guys are doing is you're altering history after the fact about the 2022 New York Mets.
I'm not altering history.
I don't think anybody thought that they were going to go to Atlanta and get swept the way they did. We say it now because we know in retrospect, Max Scherzer was a selfish diva. You know, in retrospect, they were mediocre in September. You know, in retrospect, come on. We really thought they were going to go down to Atlanta and get annihilated?
No, I wouldn't have went to that game as a non-Met fan if I thought that.
Which game did you go to?
Game one. I was there.
You're part to blame.
How am I part to blame?
I don't know.
I'm calling a Falcons game. What are you going to do on a Saturday night or a Friday? I think it was Friday.
It was a Friday night. The Grom game was Friday, yeah.
Right? We ate unbelievably because the chef there is amazing. And then we watched the game. And it was some Met fans there, but not a ton of them. And then ultimately they were shuttling out of the building.
Yeah.
And so, look, I think we expected them to win. We just didn't know that Jacob deGrom would give up three home runs.
It wasn't just Jacob deGrom. It wasn't just Chris Bassitt. It wasn't just Max Scherzer. And here's the key. It was everything. And last night, one game. I admit that. One game. It was everything. They didn't lose for one reason. They lost for many reasons. Mm-hmm. The defense was very, very sloppy. You have Starling Marte, you know, missing a cutoff man, which handed the Braves virtually another run. You had the Severino-Alvarez miscommunication. You had Acuna making a misplay very early in the game that luckily didn't come back and haunt them. So the defense was a D. Their offense was a no-show. And Severino was mediocre.
Right.
Yes, he had a lot of bad luck. He wasn't great. I mean, he still gave up a home run to Michael Harris. He still gave up an RBI double to Michael Harris. Let's not act like it was all bad luck. So they lost for every reason. And I think that's what also happened 2 years ago. It wasn't just one thing that brought them down. It was everything that brought them down. Chris in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. Listen, Evan, I think that you're totally overreacting. I know I feel the pain. I get it. But it's a different team. It's a different year. Yeah, and something is... Yeah.
Everything's different.
Something is the way it is until it isn't anymore. Okay. You know? I mean, you're talking about them like it's over.
No. Listen, I'm not. Have I? You guys tell me if I'm wrong here.
It sounds like you're saying that.
You're implying.
No, I'm not implying.
Have I ever said the Mets are not making the playoffs? Did I say that yet?
That would be me inferring. But I hear what you're saying.
Oh.
You're implying.
Is there a difference?
Right, yes. Yeah. If you say something and I take it some way, I'm inferring.
Okay.
If you say something intentionally trying to get me to think some way, then you're implying.
So inferring. You're inferring I said something I never said.
Yes.
What I have said is that for whatever reason, they can't beat this team. I can sit here all day and give you mathematical formulas on how they're going to make the playoffs anyway. The Arizona Diamondbacks, we'd be panicking if we're Diamondback fans.
So what are you so upset about?
Because I want
them
to...
Are you upset because they can't get over the Atlanta Braves?
Well, and also it would make things easier for them to finish the job themselves as opposed to hoping for Arizona to collapse against the Giants and then the Padres. It's easier for them to win their games and finish the job themselves.
Of course, but it's not easy to win games against a team that's perennially good getting into the postseason.
A team that was ravaged by injuries.
Of course.
A team that every Met fan thinks we're better than. I mean, come on. Let's not act like this is the 98 Yankees.
I'm not, but I'm just saying that the Atlanta Braves have been really good for a long time.
So this is what we're going to do. If the Braves sweep the Mets, you're just going to say, listen, Evan, what can you do? You got to tip your hat to Chris Sale. You got to tip your hat to Spencer Schwellenbach. They're really good. They're a good team.
He has been good, Schwellenbach. And Chris Sale has been elite.
So I should just say, we just have to accept it. They're very good.
No,
they got swept. Who cares?
You met them at the wrong time.
Oh,
that's what you would say.
You can't honestly, even... You can't,
it doesn't mean that... They can't go to the meaning the Mets can't go to the postseason and do something. Right? That's really what this is about.
Well, it's making the postseason, and the road to the playoffs becomes more difficult if you aren't winning these games against Atlanta.
Yeah, but even if you don't, you're not done.
I never said they're done. Look, in 2000, the Mets went to a World Series because they didn't have to play the Braves. Every Met fan knows, whether they want to admit it or not, that if they played the Braves in the 2000 NLCS, they never would have been a Subway World Series. They weren't beating the Braves.
Yeah,
they never beat the Braves.
My challenge with the narrative is that I can't believe that a player on a professional level is going to say, I just can't beat this team. I don't believe that teams say that.
Let's go to Frankie and Bethpage. What's up, Frankie?
Evan, Tiki, thank you guys for taking my call.
Pleasure.
After last night, I have lost all hope with this team. I don't know what to say. I've lost all hope. Like, it's always the same story. They just can't beat the team that has always just stopped them.
Mm.
It's the same story every year with this team. Like, they throw the three best starters out, and they just don't get the job done. It's just annoying every year.
Happens. I know. I feel very responsible, though, that Frankie sounded even more depressed than I am. So I feel almost responsible that I have to, like, now bring him back.
Uh-huh.
So here's how I'm going to bring him back. I'm going to bring him back with this. If the rains continue to fall and the Mets don't have to play the Braves tonight.
You don't have to face the music for a couple days.
They don't have to face the music potentially till Monday. And there is a scenario where if the Mets can beat the Milwaukee Brewers who are playing for nothing and get a little bit of help, those games may not matter. So we may be able to enter the Mets into the postseason without ever having to beat the Atlanta Braves. So that's my positive. Was that good, Tommy? Was that good positivity?
You did great, Sporto. Now, I think what Tiki was trying to say before and what Frankie was sounding like you, Evan, is the foregone conclusion part. If you want to say last night was the same old scenario we've seen for the last 30 years, you have a right to that opinion. What you can't do is project the next two games and say, well, they have no shot now. We're just going to live through this. It's the same old movie. What'd you call it, a time warp last night?
Yeah, it's a time warp.
So you think we're going to watch the same movie we watched over the last two games based on one thing where the Braves got a bounce or two, you know, the stars were aligned for them last night. You think that's going to happen over the next two games, whenever those games are? See, that's where we have a disconnect. It means nothing. All right, it's one game. They weren't sweeping them, like Sean said. The Mets have had so many of these throughout the year, including when they took two out of three from Atlanta earlier in the year. All right, obviously it's a bigger spot now, but it's on those guys to step up, and they have. And positive news, I don't even know if we've mentioned it yet. Francisco Lindor was on deck.
Yeah, no, that was positive.
There's a lot of uplifting stuff here with the Diamondbacks losing, with Lindor on deck, and you're going to call me crazy. This is from the Mirage playbook. But I really believe Vientos hitting that solo home run, it's like seeing the ball go through the net. Getting that one run and not getting blanked gives them a little bit of that momentum of like, all right, we got to run, let's move on.
Where I'll give that to you is I think it can sometimes get a guy hot. Like Vientos has been slumping recently, and Mark had a two-hit game. Even his single a few innings earlier was hit hard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to tell me, hey, I think Vientos is about to heat up, I can totally buy that. But they need a lot of guys to step up. You know, one thing that Carlos Mendoza implied last night, and I have to admit this, I'm sold. I'm actually with him on this. Mendy implied that J.D. Martinez is going to play tonight, and he's going to play tomorrow against left-handers. J.D. Martinez is going through one of the worst slumps of his career. Mm-hmm. And the last few days I've thought about, all right, how do you line this up? And my gut was, you know what? Let me go defense in the outfield. I'll play Bader in center. I'll play Tyrone Taylor in right. I'll even DH Starling Marte. Okay. That was my thought. But the more I think about J.D. Martinez, the more I look at him and say, you know what? As badly as he slumped, maybe he is the right guy.
Why?
With his experience.
Because of experience.
Yeah. Right. To put him in the middle of the order and almost cross your fingers that this is going to get him going. A series against Atlanta, he has seen big spots before, and he's not this bad, bad as he's been. So I am warmed up to the idea that J.D. Martinez should get kind of like a new opportunity. He sat the last three games. I've warmed up to that. And maybe a guy, a veteran, who has not been a part of the Met failures, can be the catalyst or one of the catalysts to get these bats going.
Maybe, but this is the same thing it sounds like with the Yankees with Verdugo.
You're comparing J.D. Martinez to Alex Verdugo?
Not at all, but the thought process is the same.
And their stats aren't that different.
Right. I'd make that trade today.
And so I trust the veteran in the critical part of the season. Why? Because he's been there.
Yeah.
Hitting to an inning-ending double play. Would you, Verdugo?
Well, Verdugo's very different. Because
I know he is, but you know what I'm saying. But it's just... It's the same, in a sense. Like, the thought process is the same. Like, I don't trust the unknown. I'd rather trust the known, the veteran, simply because he's been in the spot before.
So, yeah, from that level, you're right. I'll give you the two differences, in my opinion. Number one, I think J.D. Martinez is better. I mean, honestly, I think he's got a much better track.
It's not even a question.
Okay, so I put that one aside.
Yeah.
The second thing is the Met options in terms of, okay, if J.D. doesn't play... It's probably, when you really think about it, Harrison Bader.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bader plays center, Taylor plays right, you DH Starling Marte. Harrison Bader hasn't done much either, though he improves your defense. Jason Dominguez has star potential.
Of course.
So I think that the difference between I get it, but he's also giving you flashes.
Yeah. But can you trust flashes in the postseason?
No, I don't think you can trust either guy.
Yeah.
But you have to make the best decision for your team. We'll see what if Carlos even puts a lineup together, because we still don't know if the Mets have left their hotel yet.
Has the bus left yet?
Nobody is updated except for Howie Rose, who has now tweeted, they say there's a window, here's mine, with a picture at his hotel window with just nonstop wind in it.
Dude, I'm on the Weather Channel app.
There is no window.
And I pay the $9.99 a month fee on the Weather Channel app, so it's very advanced. It's a very special Weather Channel app. Dude, I don't know what kind of window. I got good news.
What?
How about this?
Bust left.
The rain at 7 o'clock is now down to 84%.
Oh.
16% chance
down
of nothing?
Down from 90?
Down from 90.
Oh.
But you're not asking the right questions, Evan. The question is it going to rain? Is how hard is it going to rain?
Yeah.
I don't know how to measure that on the Weather Channel app.
Well, you pay $9.99 a month, and it should tell you how hard the rain drops.
No, it just says.
What are you paying for?
Why would you waste $9.99 a month for the Weather Channel?
Because I really like to know long-range forecasts, and one of the features they give you is you could do the hourlies like a week in advance.
So I'm a loser.
So I could tell you the temperature for Monday night.
God.
Would you want to know that?
How many demo tapes do you buy in Times Square? Because you're the biggest sucker in the world.
Nobody wants
There's
to know that.
There's no way they could be right about that.
Exactly.
I don't know if they're right about it. I'm just saying I like to have access to that.
I'm a loser.
Yeah. Do you want to know the weather for like Sunday afternoon?
You don't like your own money. That's what it sounds like to me.
No kidding. I'm a Nets and Mets season ticket holder. Wasn't that proof enough? Scott's in Secaucus. How you doing, Scott?
Evan, you're like Chicken Little. The sky is not falling. It's only one game.
It's more than one game, Scott, and I think you know that. It's not one game.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've been a Mets fan a long time. Yeah. I remember getting beat down by Maddox, Smoltz, and those guys.
So then how do you think it's one game? You know it's more than one game.
Because just like you, you've seen enough games to know that sometimes you got to tip your cap. Good pitching beats good hitting, and the kid pitched good last night.
Scott, you're being very rational, and I respect that. I do. I respect.
What? Don't you think Met fans want to be rational?
Yeah, I want to be rational.
Then why aren't you?
Because I think
shouldn't
that.
Shouldn't you just be rational? Shouldn't you be the example, like Positive Tommy?
I can't.
Who is just rational
no.
and understands that the story is not written yet. There's still two games left in this series. And by the way, anything can happen.
Sure.
But be rational.
So
be confident as opposed to negative and. Chicken Little, as that last caller just said.
So I would say, and you should keep track of this, because you're a man of math, I think I'm rational 86% of the time. Mm. I really do. Mm. I think if you look past the moments where I lose my mind, I think more times than not, I give you a very rational opinion. I think talking about the Mets, especially in depth on the Rico Bronya podcast I do, I have been rational all year long, off season long. I think I've done it at a very high clip.
Yep.
But I am a fanatic. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Right? I truly am. I
so
haven't
you
been
get
jaded.
Emotionally moved when things don't go correctly.
There are certain moments that can emotionally move you.
Yes.
And I think that getting your head beat with a hammer by the Atlanta Braves for the 700th time in the exact same way you experienced it 2 years ago and you experienced it 25 years ago is very difficult to remain rational.
Right.
So
even though the opportunity is still right there.
Yeah, I get the opportunity's right there. And I get that the Mets have shown this ability to bounce back all year long. But deep down in your soul, see, Positive Tommy has a facade.
Mm.
And I don't hate the facade, bro.
Sounds like he says you're faking it, Tommy.
I didn't say that.
Well, he's called me a liar repeatedly.
Well, no, that was about a road trip that you said was good that wasn't
good. That was about 10 minutes ago. When you didn't name me, but you said there are people that lie and put up a facade, and you were talking about
oh,
me.
Oh, so maybe I did call you a
Perhaps
liar.
Perhaps you're talking about me or Pete Hoffman, your producer.
No, but
on
I think your facade may not necessarily be a radio bit. It may not necessarily be anything for...
Oh, you mean this Positive Tommy
facade.
Yeah, I
think
I got you.
A facade to keep you from hurting.
Mm.
So that's what I think it is.
Let's go with
that. And I think that deep down in your soul, if we can kind of take the facade away, and I got to speak to real Tommy, not Positive Tommy, not Negative Tommy, real Tommy, like you're talking to real Evan right now, you would know that last night brought up a lot of bad memories and it damaged you to your its core. You know that. So let's put it aside.
Mm-hmm.
Sit in the therapy chair.
Mm-hmm.
Did last night not remind you of some past moments that caused great pain?
Are you asking Positive Tommy?
I'm asking real Tommy.
Well, real Tommy, as you know, is gone. I'm what remains. Positive Tommy.
Real Tommy's dead.
He doesn't exist anymore.
As Darth Vader said in that new series, Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is what I would say. Because you said, let's go with the idea that it's a facade. I feel like when you're a leader or you're a parent, right? What do you tell your kids when they lose their teeth? I'll hang up and listen. All right, we'll move that to the side then.
What do I tell them?
Yeah.
I tell them they lost a tooth. It's their baby tooth. Mm-hmm. They're now going to grow a grown-up tooth, and they better wash them with toothbrushes a lot more than they did the baby teeth, because who cares about the baby teeth?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Like, why are we even brushing
them? Inevitably going to fall out.
That's what I was thinking about the other day with Spence. I'm like, why am I brushing his teeth? They're all going to fall out. Like, what are we
you're
doing?
Teaching them the habit.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Also, their teeth may fall out. Their breath exists for the day.
You've never had that that thought when you were brushing your daughter's teeth? Like, why am I doing this? It feels like a waste.
No, because I understand it also, people have bad breath. Okay. Kids and adults alike.
Okay. I back to your point, Tom.
Okay, I think we all agree that there is stuff the government doesn't tell us, right? Okay.
Okay.
So sometimes when you're a leader, you have to tell your people, you have to give them a good message.
So you're lying. You're admitting that you're lying.
No, it's not lying, Evan.
That's what you just said.
It's giving them the positive message because, perhaps, pterodactyls will attack this country and we'll be gone. But maybe they won't.
Okay,
so I'm going to give a positive message out there to uplift. Let's be honest, Evan. Our fan base, Jet fan base, Islander fan base, we are a very, at times, sad and pathetic, self-fulfilling prophecy, whining biatches.
Yes.
And I'm so damn sick of it.
I really am.
And there's a lot of people out there that want to drink our tears. And I don't want to give them the tears anymore. People set their watch to Met Misery. And I don't want to be a part of it anymore.
I respect your leadership because I think what he's telling us, Tiki, is that if he was president and aliens were attacking, he would lie to us.
Oh.
He would say, everything's okay. In fact, he would say, quote, don't look up, which was a movie.
Yes, it was.
He would tell us that.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Because he doesn't want to scare people. Like,
he's
he wants leadership.
Because he was on the top of Puffy's list.
Strategery. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Huh. Who was the first person you were inviting? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, boy.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, I think if you have any association with Diddy, you're in trouble.
Yeah, right now.
Like, what if you wore a Diddy shirt once? Are you in trouble for that?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
But unless you wore that Diddy shirt to the Diddy party.
Okay. Because someone posted a picture of Marcus Stroman wearing a Diddy t-shirt. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, doesn't mean he's partying with him and he knew what was going on. It means maybe he liked his music. Like, what the hell does that mean?
Likely. I hope.
I mean, come on.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I gotta defend him on that.
Absolutely. On next week's Posted and Toasted, Evan's gonna have all P. Diddy tweets from everybody that works here.
That's a great idea. Look at you, Tommy, thinking.
There you go.
What?
I have kind of an update on the weather.
That's true.
Okay. Joel Sherman has dropped a report as of 15 minutes ago where he did some deep diving. And the reason that none of this has been moved to a neutral site, none of this has been changed start time wise, is solely due to the Atlanta Braves. Okay, so just a couple excerpts.
So the Braves don't want it to happen.
So a couple excerpts here. For reasons of business, logistics, and perhaps gamesmanship, the Braves did not want to shift start times, days, or locations for their series against the Mets, despite the forecasts that make it iffy to play. MLB could have overridden any desire for either team and forced different logistics for the games, but they did not. Now, more here is part of this. Apparently, despite the state of emergency by the Georgia governor,
Brian Kemp,
the Braves were expecting gates, some of their largest attendance of the year, with 40,000 plus for each of these games. They did not want to forego the gates, nor work through the logistics of moving personnel such as security, concessionaires, etc., to other dates and start times. Mm-hmm. The Braves also start their home games at 7:20 p.m., not earlier, because there is a flow problem to get people in and out of the Battery, which is the area where it was built.
Mm-hmm.
So the Braves have decided, hey, we're going to go full steam ahead, and baseball chose not to override it. Baseball did override the Rays and Tigers because of not having a problem with gate and attendance.
Let me respond to this. We all know.
It's a money thing.
Yeah.
It's money.
It's always money.
Put it down. Wait, why hasn't Major League Baseball done anything to force the Braves? Guess why? Money.
No. I'd see that part I disagree with.
Why? That's exactly what he just said.
The Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta Braves have a gate that they know is going to be heavy for this penultimate series of the year for them. It's their chance to help them get into the postseason by besting the Mets and putting them in a favorable wild card position. People are going to come. So it's about the gate.
Well,
that's why
the Atlanta Braves decided to do this. And we all know the Braves are out to screw the Mets. They're out to make as much money as they can. They're also out to screw the Mets. They're also looking at their own self-interest. The Atlanta Braves don't have to travel anywhere, okay? So even if they rain these games out, they never have to go anywhere. They're playing the Kansas City Royals over the weekend, and if they have to play Monday, no one has to leave their home. The Atlanta Braves, I'm going to defend that Mickey Mouse organization. They have every right to be selfish pigs. Every right. But here's where I disagree with you. Major League Baseball has to put the sports interest above anything else. And so I don't blame the Atlanta Braves for being the selfish, bitter pigs that they are. They have every right to do that. Gamesmanships, hating the Mets, screwing the Mets.
You know what? I admit this, Atlanta. I would have done the same thing to you. Okay? So no harm, no foul. This is on the commissioner and the commissioner's office. Because as Sean pointed out, the commissioner's office had every right to overturn the selfishness of the Atlanta Braves. They did it with the Tigers. Now, granted, much smaller gate in Detroit.
Yep.
I follow the money.
Yep.
And you're right. Money-wise, it's better to have these separate gates. But Major League Baseball's made moves before. They've moved games before. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, want to create a conspiracy theory? Cool. I'm glad you asked.
Right.
They hate Steve Cohen. This sport and this commissioner don't like Steve Cohen.
But why?
I don't know. Because he's got $1 billion and he's going to bring salaries up and he's about to drop a nuke on him when he signs Juan Soto for $900 million. So, oh, the Mets are involved? Let's just leave it the way it is. So to my fellow Met fans, don't blame the Braves. They're the pigs we already know they are. And it's okay to be pigs. We're pigs. This is on Major League Baseball and their failed leadership. Rob Manfred, where are you? Are you playing golf? Are you working on your phantom swing? Are you watching football because you don't even like the sport of baseball? Which I know bothers him. I know he doesn't like to hear that.
Why?
He doesn't like hearing when people say he doesn't like baseball. So I'm just throwing it in there because I'm angry. I'm not in a good mood today.
Do you know he likes football?
I don't think he cares about football either.
Oh, okay.
I was just trying to dig
him a little bit.
Yeah, Rob Manfred doesn't like when people accuse him of not liking baseball. So I'm mad, Rob. I'm mad that you're a feckless leader who hasn't done a damn thing about this. So I'm gonna hit you where it hurts. You probably love Major League Baseball, but right now I don't like you. Fix this. Oh, wait, it's too late. It's too late. There's no way to fix this. You can't have a neutral site game tomorrow.
Right.
You can't move up start times.
But
you waited. You dilly-dallied and you waited.
But in the long term, couldn't this be beneficial to the Mets?
It's a great question, Tiki.
I think it could be.
It could
especially
be.
If the Diamondbacks keep just diamondbacking right now.
That is true. There is a scenario where this could work out, I guess, incredibly well. More on that coming up a little bit later on. Plus, we'll keep you posted on the weather.